happy 4th of July, or which is both a holiday or just a random day of the week, depending on where you are living. But anyway, welcome to PHPVB Weekly, episode number 112. We're actually recording this not live, Friday, July 3rd, 2009, but it will be the 4th, or maybe the 5th, maybe even the 6th by the time this is released, so who's counting? Another opening destroyed. And, all right, I'm your co-host, Douglas Bell, and we've got one of the biggest, well, since the Bernie Mons presidential debate anyway, the biggest crowd I think we've ever had with us here today, all the regulars. So let's go, I'm just going to go straight down my Skype list just for the sake of doing so. So, once again, Michael Cottingham is joining us.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, soy muy bien. Muy bien, and very, yeah. I haven't done Spanish in a year and a half. Joining us, I think this is his first time. Eric Frerejon.
Hi guys. Yes, and it's the first time.
Yes, who is, and he's staying up till 11 p.m. to join us. Not quite as crazy as last week, our guest who stayed up past midnight over in Shanghai to join us, but.
Well, it will be midnight at some point.
It will be. And Eric, you're on the support team, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, my memory is you know, it's interesting. We're getting a lot more support team bias on the show. It used to be very much mod team, but you know, Michael past support team member, Paul's now support team member, Eric, and also Phil Crum, iWisdom, joining us again, also from the support team. Hey, Phil.
Yes. How's it going?
It's going just great. I'm surviving the summer. And hey, what about this? Oh my gosh, it's David Lewis, right?
It's Bond. James Bond.
You know, Bond, you used that once before.
It's a repeat. I'm using it again.
This time you're 008 or 009?
0011.
That's four digits, you know.
Yes, I know. It's all binary. Right.
David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life. I'll say it for him so he will never have to say it again. And his partner in crime, Francis, Mr. Handyman himself.
Well, I don't have... Well, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, so this is our 4th of July episode. We are taking the actual day off, so we're not live, which is always fun because when we are not live, we can always do random stuff like make up, crack and assassinate names for teams, or you know, maybe even play. I don't know. How about we play a cheesy 4th of July patriotic song?
Oh no!
This used to be my favorite, now my most hated 4th of July song ever. If tomorrow, because it's so weird. All the things were gone, I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. That doesn't apply to most of us here. Stars to live in here today, cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Very incompatible with Singles Awareness Day there, Michael. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you.
Oh my God.
Still today. Oh, this is torture. Okay, that's enough of that. David's been having... So what do you guys got planned for the weekend, those of you who are here in the United States? David, well, I'm sure you've been planning something with your horses.
Well, we were originally, but I think we're going to haul hay instead. No, actually, one of the horses, she's got a hurt leg, so we're letting it heal up a bit.
Okay. Terrible.
No, instead you know, my dad is a musician, so he's playing with the Spokane Symphony Orchestra at the Riverfront Park for the July 4th celebration.
Oh, cool.
July 4th. So that's what we're doing this weekend.
He's not going to be playing that song, is he?
I doubt it.
Doubt it. That would be very interesting. But you're probably going to see some fireworks, something like that, huh?
Oh, yes. We'll see fireworks for sure. What about you?
I haven't seen fireworks in years, but I think I'm going to be working at a booth at Foster City's Leo Ryan Park tomorrow. And there's a pancake breakfast and all that, so that's fun. You know, flip some flapjacks. That'll be nice.
You got Phil?
Let's see. Fireworks. Always fireworks. And I play guitar, too, so I have a concert in the park thing, and I actually do have to play that song.
Not nice.
Yeah, I haven't learned it yet, so I should probably get on that.
Michael, any interesting for you?
Not that I know of. There may be something later, but I don't think we're planning to go see fireworks this year.
Okay. Well, my neighbors just turned on their music. I'm gonna close the window. I guess we should talk about some PHP BB news. We did talk about this a little bit last week, Michael, but you know, now we have Eric on. He actually was part of this. The release candidate of the support toolkit that was released about a week ago. And you know, Eric, you've been working with X Reaction on this. You want to tell us something a little interesting about what's been going on?
Well, yeah, that's okay. Well, basically, the support toolkit is a tool Nathan originally started. I think a year ago or so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it used to be a community coding thing, but we decided to make it public or official through the teams.
It was something that the support team and I started several years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original version, I'm talking about this version, it isn't related to the version you started originally. I wasn't aware of a support team toolkit before I joined the team and heard about it.
And see, you mentioned this was a community coding project, so it's interesting. Obviously, that and coming in as Korea Studies of the event system. Are there any of the other community coding projects that have kind of been picked up? Do you know of this anything, David, or that are kind of moving along, or most of the others kind of dead?
As far as community coding projects go,
yeah, the ones that started back in 2005 or thereabouts.
As far as I know, they're buried 6 feet under. So, yeah.
Shucks.
I would be really surprised if, you know, maybe somebody's doing something in their basement and they've been hiding for a couple of years. But other than that, it should be, you know, pretty dead right now. Which is a shame, really. I'd like to see some more coding projects pop up, but that's the way it goes. So, you know, I think with the junior developers, that's been the really good thing that I've seen come through. I can't remember the last time I was more excited about developments for PHPBB3. I have to back up because the last time I was really excited about developments for PHPBB3 was when they were just going into the first beta. And this has to be just a little bit more exciting than that, to have the junior developers developing for PHPBB3 right now.
Yeah. Quite interesting. It's really seen a lot of that this year, branching development out beyond just the development team, what with AutoMod and UMIL and the support toolkit and a bunch of other underground projects. It's really kind of, you know, developing its own ecosystem. Maybe it's a little early to say that.
Yeah, it's good to see. Well, you have UMIL, AutoMod, you have the support toolkit, you also have the customization database,
mm-hmm.
Titania.
All that the teams need to do is take over, colorize it, and then you'll probably pretty much have every team covered with their own project.
The only thing about all these projects is they are all developed by the teams, and it would be nice to have some projects that are developed by the community at large.
Aren't those called mods?
Well, yes, but the mods are generally individuals coding mods, you know.
Well, really, if you think about it, I mean, even though it's developed by the teams, there are people that are basically recruited by the teams to develop these. So it basically is community projects, but just in a basically smaller, more controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the way the junior developers works, because they're still, you know, they're recruiting people, but they're getting a lot more people involved than just the development team.
Phil, in our little chat, you said that almost all of the community coding projects exist now as actual code.
Yeah, just going through the original announcement on .com in 2005, and I'll post a link to the chat in a second.
You do that, I'm too lazy.
You have the event system, which is, someone commented, is already in 3.2 or working on. The syndication system, which is feeds in 3.0.6. CAN moderator responses, which sort of, I guess, kind of exists, because, like, if you deny posts, for example, you can select a reason and all that. The auth system, which is present pretty much exactly as described. Karma was in 2.2 and got kicked out because it's frankly kind of worthless.
That's, yeah. Is there a good karma mod that is close enough to karma?
the problem,
kind of fun.
The problem is, Douglas, that everybody's concept of what a karma mod is completely different.
Yeah.
My concept of a karma mod I found really differed from somebody else's, and so when you put something in there, it's like you have a lot of people who are like, no, that's not what karma is, or not, that's not the way that it should work, and, you know, because everybody views their own karma mod as working in a completely different algorithm or system. So that's sort of the problem with implementing something in the default PHPBB3 system.
You know my idea of a karma mod? A fortune teller that tells me what my karma is right now.
I'm still waiting on a fist through monitor.
Oh, didn't you see, you should get that thing that they actually offer you. It comes with a little thing you put on the back of your screen, and then a foam mallet, and you bang it on the screen, and then it causes the screen to break, and eventually, if you do it enough, you get this animation of all the little monkeys running around inside your computer. Haven't you seen that?
No.
No.
David Pogue reviewed that 2 years ago. It's hilarious. I gotta find that for you.
Did you see the what I posted on Twitter? What was it, 2 weeks ago, about what I was going to make, the coffee mod just for Eric?
Oh, yeah.
And it had the little spout, too. You have to use the USB wine spout.
USB wine. Where did I save?
I wanted one, David. Yeah. When does it come out?
You know open source. It doesn't have release dates.
Oh, great. Yeah.
What would you do?
This USB...
It's the USB wine spout. If you just search for USB wine spout, it'll come up with
Google. I bookmarked it for this episode, David. I bookmarked it. And it was when I was using Safari, and it's... Oh, I got the beach ball again, so hold on.
Safari Firefox will... Safari will... Well, for you. I like it. But if it's doing things like hanging for 60 seconds, it's obviously not working well for you. But no, you should... You could import all your bookmarks into Firefox. By the way, for those who don't know, Firefox 3.5 was released this week.
Yeah.
And it is so fast. I'm using it equally with Safari 4.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, Safari 4, it's I get beach balls and stuff on. The beta was good. I like the tabs on top. Just have to wait for Chrome or something like that to come up.
There was something wrong with your installation.
Maybe.
Because... It doesn't do that on mine.
Here's the wine.
Incroyable. Non?
Cet appareil est le USB Wine. Et c'est génial. Et maintenant, vous aussi, vous pouvez accéder à cette extraordinaire technologie depuis chez vous.
Eric's the only one that understands that.
Révolutionnaire!
I have a little clue why I don't speak French.
They have a wine store.
Vous visitez les meilleurs vignobles dans le monde d'un clic de souris. Vous choisissez un vin et commencez le téléchargement. Votre vin se verse directement de l'USB Wine dans votre bouteille.
Et vous avez en plus l'étiquette. Wow.
Quel produit révolutionnaire.
There's no bottle, you download the wine.
Commandez dès à présent votre USB Wine sur notre site internet et téléchargez vous-même vos vins préférés en direct des domaines.
L'USB Wine va changer vos dîners.
Rendez-vous dès maintenant sur www.usbwine.com et commandez votre USB Wine.
By the way, c'est USB Wine.
USB Wine. Yes, I like the French accents.
Here's the rip-off. The way they show it, you have to get this spout attachment, and you have to put it in a bottle, and then you have to print out the actual stickers. And it's like, the problem makes the wine cheap, but the spout attachment in the bottle and all that, that's probably the expensive part.
It's like a replicator. You know, you download the wine and it replicates it and goes out the spout.
No, this is more fun than that. The replicator, you just get the bottle. This gets you the fun of actually having to pour it out of the spout. So, David, how do you propose to convert that into a coffee maker and make it a PHPBB mod?
Well, it's very simple. See,
they developed this in Perl.
All it is, it's just converting what's the liquid that's downloaded, and it's spewing it out via the spout. So I figure if you can make it replicate coffee, then you can use the same spout, the USB wine spout, and PHPBB can make your coffee.
But tell me, if they can make a spout that connects to your computer with USB, how long till they make a USB eensy weensy spider?
Is that one that walks while it's plugged into your USB port?
Oh, well, you know, it goes up the eensy weensy spider walks up the USB spout. That was bad. Hey, weren't we talking about the support toolkit a while ago?
Yes, we were. And actually, I had a question about that because I mean, I've seen the support toolkit in the repository, rather, but I don't have a clue what's in it. What, Eric,
David,
what is in that?
You weren't listening to our show last week.
Well, if you covered
there
that.
Are Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, there are a couple of tools inside it. It's basically it's a second admin control panel, which can perform multiple tasks, starting with fixing basic stuff, fixing common problems inside PHPB, or adding features to the board so admins can, manage it better or easier, I should say.
This was actually cool. We were Michael and I were reminiscing last week about this great thing it's got. If you can't log in to it with your normal PHPBB login, you can have it generate a password file for 25 characters that you use, and you have to download the file, upload it to the support toolkit directory on your server, and then once it's uploaded, you can log in using that secondary login. And the generated password file expires 6 hours afterwards. So it's really cool. You can create your own password if you can't use the regular PHPBB login.
Oh yeah, that's correct. We want the toolkit to stay on the server, or allow it to stay on the server. So we need a basic protection to have it run without the board working correctly. So if you can't log in, it will create a password for you, so you can use it anyway.
I should unmute. So does the support toolkit, does it require founder access, or does it work on a specific?
Well, it uses founder status if everything works correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't log into it, you can have the toolkit create a password for you.
Right, but my question was more like you know, other administrators could not log into it unless they were founders, correct?
Yeah, or if a founder creates a password for them through the secondary login. So you can, the secondary login works also when the board doesn't work. So if the board login does work, you can log in through the secondary.
Mm-hmm. So you can give other
admins access, even if they're not founder. If you're a founder, you can give other admins access. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. If you have FTP access to the server, you can use the password file, but then they have to do it within those six hours, or you have to create a new one for them.
So what are the more common tasks with the support team toolkit?
David, read the page.
Well, basically, I think the auto cookies is the most used. If you see how many people destroy the cookie settings. The others, well, it depends on what you do wrong, what you need.
So that, okay, yeah, that was my question. What's the most used by the community? And that would be the fixing the cookie settings, I suppose.
Well, probably, yes.
My question, Eric, would be, what do you guys have planned next, you know, moving forward with the support toolkit?
Well, we will be adding tools if necessary. So if something comes up, we'll write a tool for it. Basic enhancements. But I think at the moment we have, most of it covered.
Yeah. Quite comprehensive. Is it modular so other people could also add their own additions to the toolkit?
Yeah, it's modular. Just create a new tool file, drop it in, and it works if coded correctly.
Sounds cool. David, do you have any other questions?
No.
It is still in release candidate, so the support team isn't expecting people to use it yet for support yet, because it's not necessarily stable, but it sounds really cool, and I think it's going to be great. And speaking of support, you know, Phil wanted us, I guess he said it was like 5 months ago that he put together a support request template generator, but we haven't given it any love yet, so I've decided I'm going to personally give Phil's support request template generator some love right here. All right, that's enough love.
More than enough.
Tell us about your support request template generator.
Well, basically, it's meant to supplement and eventually replace the good old, as anyone who's ever been in the support forum has noticed, the copy-paste fill-out support request template. And it basically arose from the need that a lot of people, when they're filling out, they aren't the most technically advanced people because, for various reasons. But regardless, most people have no idea what some of the questions are asking. So the general idea was we could create a tool where it asks questions depending on your various answers. So one, it would only ask what it really needed based on your other responses. And two, it would provide guidelines so people would have some idea what we meant when we were saying, was this a fresh install or an upgrade, conversion, update, etc. And it has been in beta since February or so, but I've been collecting data and it's almost exclusively used now over the text template, which is kind of nice. And eventually it will replace the text template.
That's good. Let me take a look at this here. What version of PHPBB are you using? I don't know. Is your problem mod related? No. Are you attempting to convert to PHPBB from another board software? No. Was your board hacked? No. Next step. My board's URL, let's see, who do I host my board with? David Lewis. Any mods installed? What is my problem? Well, David is not on the show long enough. Can I get support for that? I'm kidding. I don't want to get banned by the teams. Yeah, this is pretty clever. Although I don't know if some certain users would know whether or not their problem is mod related. Or not, and certain things like that. But you know, then again, whatever.
Well, like for things like that, there's the little question mark next to the question, and if you click on it, a lovely little bubble comes up. Like for that one, did this problem start after installing or removing a mod?
Yeah, that's clever.
It's courtesy of the Styles team, because Lord knows I couldn't do that on my own.
And it automatically generates a support request. Is it a new topic, a new support topic?
It gives you a field to copy and paste into a new post, because at this point we really don't want to make it post automatically for various reasons.
Oh, okay, good. So if I had gone through and put through that fake form complaining about David, not that he's complaining worthy, but it wouldn't have automatically posted and I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. Good.
So, Phil, why don't you make it so that they can select, like, okay, this is my topic, you know, make it so that it can select from the support forum and they can select their topic and have it automatically either edited to the first post or posted in a new reply.
Well, I'd thought about that, but the big reason is right now it's not completely finalized, which is why it's in beta, and I really don't want to make any changes that will actually affect the forum to it, because I don't have the best track record of testing things before I commit them, and I don't really want to break anything. But
that's an interesting reason.
But after it becomes stable and the de facto tool, we're obviously, you know, going to look into expanding it further, whatever way we want, whether or not we want it to post automatically, or one of the other things I've mulled about and played with a little bit is suggesting knowledge base articles and topics that match what your problem description is. So eventually you might not even have to leave that page in order to get your help, which would probably be good, but I haven't got it to work quite as accurately as I'd like yet.
So what's next? What's going to be the next automatic template generator? Perhaps a general discussion template generator?
No, the world domination generator.
Of course. I was waiting for that. How much work does it take to code a world domination template generator?
Not very much.
Not bad.
You make it sound like it's easy to take over the world with a world template generator. World domination.
Yes, because I'm going to take over the world first and then have someone else do it.
It is nice to know that we didn't have a time to talk about it last week, but there is a recent post on the blog by Jim A. why you need to fill out the support request template. And, you know, it kind of talks – it goes through the three different steps that they ask in your generator. And, you know, it's pretty brief in terms of why. It's hard to answer a lot of questions, and you need more information to get an idea of what the problem is. Do you think there'll be a point where eventually you may set it so that you can't post in the support forums unless you use the template generator? Or is that not appropriate, do you think?
Well, the big problem with that is, which if you read the blog comments, there's a little bit of a discourse going on in there with regards to it. But the support request template is handy for a lot of things, but as Eric or Michael or anyone else who spends a lot of time in the support forum or ever has can tell you, there are some questions which, you know, are just basic, like fundamental ones that don't really require the information in the support request template generator for it doesn't require it to be answered for you to answer the question. So there are some cases where the support request template is way over above what's actually needed to answer the question and would just prove to be a pain for whoever wanted to ask a question, because not too often, because it's in between releases, but when major releases come out, and to a lesser extent minor releases, we do get posts asking, oh, what is this new feature? What is that new feature? Things like that don't really refer to a specific problem or board. And with the support request template generator, there's really no way to discern that and not ask. I think it's somewhere between 9 and 15 questions when you don't even need to answer one of them to be able to get your answer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely cool.
Such as things like general usability, like how do I add smileys to the board?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, things like that.
You know, which are, you know, you don't really have to, that doesn't make sense to have support for your template for that sort of thing.
For that matter, doesn't really make sense for them for you to give them anything besides, hey, read the FAQ. Yeah, oh well.
I think for support, the tutorials, which I'd like to see expanded personally.
Definitely.
But those are probably one of the more...
You mean the Flash tutorials?
Yeah.
That Flash tutorial is the only reason I understand PHPBB3's permission system. Before that, I could not figure it out.
But I would like to see them expanded. Hint, 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 hint.
Hey, David, are you volunteering?
No. I'm not on the support team.
Oh, you don't have to be. Don't you remember? We're talking about, you know, members of the community doing all this stuff now.
Hey. I've got my own stuff like Titania to work on.
Oh, I'm sure. Something else that was on the blog we didn't have, that actually came out just Saturday last week, so we obviously didn't have time to talk about it, but with the new 3.0.6 features, one of the things we've been talking about has been the new CAPTCHA plugin system. CAPTCHA plugins are not manufactured by the SC Johnson company. They do Glade plugins. However, there's a new great blog post here by Kellen Ved of the developer team, 3.0.6 CAPTCHA plugins and you. Now, since I've been very busy, which one of you have had time to read it and kind of get a sense of what they're talking about? Would like to explain it to us.
I use them. Does that count?
Yeah.
My personal board is a 306 SVN, which Quick Reply just got committed, so that's kind of a nice surprise.
Do not, kids, try this at home.
Anyway, what it makes it do is the CAPTCHA system is completely rewritten, which has the downside of any basically registration mod currently in existence, question and answer, anything like that, is going to completely get destroyed by the update. But in exchange, it makes it so you can easily add basically whatever you want in terms of CAPTCHAs. The stock examples are the CAPTCHA abstract, which is the old 3.0.5 CAPTCHA. Mm. And then, as the blog post notes, there is ReCAPTCHA, which is what I'm using on my forum. And although it's not perfect, it's a nice change, and it's certainly a good option. And I'm pulling up my ACP right now to look at the other options.
I love ReCAPTCHA. Now, as far as CAPTCHAs go, it's probably the easiest to read of CAPTCHAs that I'm familiar with, and if you can't read them, you can at least refresh them and get a better one. And you know, integrating it on my site has been very easy. They have the PHP library, which is very easy to use. So I was really happy to see ReCAPTCHA in there, though. At first I thought it looked a little bit weird seeing ReCAPTCHA in with PHPBB.
It's just a little odd, but visual confirmation. Kellen Ved rewrote the CAPTCHA system, so it's completely modular now. And one of the lovely things about our PHPBB wiki, which is wiki.phpbb.com, is it allows the developers to document all these wonderful new APIs. And there is actually a page up there for anyone who wants to take the plunge and write one before 3.0.6 comes out. But the gist of it is it very easily allows you to add new CAPTCHAs without modifying any core codes. So if the default CAPTCHA gets broken, which it already has been, or ReCAPTCHA gets broken, which, you know, is a possibility if it's shipped with relatively large forum software, you can add question and answer, you can add blacklist checking, you can add like a kitten CAPTCHA, something like that if you want to. So basically it makes it so you can do whatever you want to the CAPTCHA system without having to hack around with the old abstract CAPTCHA, which, if any of you have tried it, is not the most pleasant experience.
Yeah, I think we both found, Dave and I both found it, wiki.phpbb.com/CAPTCHAs seems to be it. So that looks like it's still based on 3.0.5. Or am
I... No, this is the new CAPTCHA interface.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second
thing is like 3.0.5. One way that you can tell is the include. You know, you have the S, you know, at the top there, the if S confirm code include CAPTCHA template.
Uh-huh.
That variable was not possible in 3.0.5. That's only possible in 3.0.6.
Okay. And I see they have.
You could never use a variable in an include statement prior to 3.0.6.
Oh wow, that's interesting. So it being a variable means that it's not a specific file. Now the variable, it could be any file depending on which CAPTCHA has been set by the admin?
Well, yep. It's essentially yes, and the way that that code works is that, you know, the controller controls what template it's going to load. You know, if you have like 20 possible captcha templates in there, you can set it, okay, I want to load this particular template file, and that's the one that will be included there without having to put all that logic into the template saying, if S confirm code 1, load this template. If S confirm code 2, load this template. You know, that sort of thing. So now it's just include captcha template, whichever is specified by the template.
And of course, I'm sure that this new ability is going to be available to mod authors to do anything else.
Exactly. That the ability to specify a variable within an include statement is going to really expand the functionality, especially for portals. If you have portals where, like, okay, each user wants something different to display in the portal, and maybe they want it, if you go to iGoogle, for WordPress users, you know, the dashboard where you can adjust things around and drag and drop things.
Oh, different digitized dashboard.
Yes, exactly. So this essentially would make that sort of thing possible within PHBBB.
Wow. You mean you can have widgetized admin panels now?
Well, I'm not sure that would make a whole lot of sense, but yeah, you could.
Or widgetized, I don't know. Yeah, the layout doesn't quite mix with that kind of a metaphor, but to the coding guidelines to get that changed.
Yes, yeah, the coding guidelines would need to be changed to update a lot of this stuff, including this. This is definitely one of my favorite changes within the 3.0.6 changes. I mean, there's so many cool stuff coming in 3.0.6, it's hard to pick out your favorites, but this definitely ranks.
It's like, man, you guys sure you don't want to rename it to PHPBB 3.1 or 3.2?
It's not enough of a code overhaul, I think, to name it that. Theoretically, you could say that 3.2 needs to be 4.0, but I don't know.
They could still decide that at a later time, too.
It's like what happened to 2.2.
It's ironic. I seem to have read somewhere, the PHPBB uses the Linux kernel versioning scheme, which is why they don't do stable releases on a odd number. That's why they.
Well, it's you know when you have XYZ, you can't do stable releases on an odd number of Y.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I read they changed that.
Linux did, yes.
Yeah.
PHPBB did not.
Why not?
We're not really sticking to the kernel scheme anymore, because one of the other things is minor releases within like the 3.0 line, so 3.01, 3.02, so on. One, they can't have any new features, and two, they have to just be bug and maintenance releases. Yeah. And when 3.0 came out, Mike noted that 3.0 was not going to have that necessarily feature frozen rule that PHPBB 2 had. So we're not sticking with the complete philosophy of the Unix kernel numbering system, but we are sticking with it kind of loosely, I guess.
I don't know. I kind of like a little bit the idea of perhaps, you know, the big changes would be a full-blown, you know, 3 becomes 4 type of thing. But I like the idea of perhaps the minor releases should be a little bit more frequent than, I don't know, every 2 years, since it has been about at least a year and a half now since 3.0 came out. And I don't know. I guess I'm a little more used to WordPress, which does like new feature releases like every 6 months or so.
That was December 13, 2007, right?
Yeah, so a year and a half. At least.
And we're only at 3.0.6. You know, theoretically you would be at something like 3.0.12 or something like that, but fact that only six have come out, that's kind of a good thing, but at the same time it's kind of...
So,
you know, some people complain about, the releases are too close together. Well, no, they're not. You know, the last one was before 3.0.5. The last one was like 5 or 6 months before. So
pretty much we're averaging a new revision every 3 months.
There really is no rule, I think, for how to do version numbers between different projects.
Yeah, certainly not. I like, you know, a lot of software that has, you know, think of 1Password on the Mac, how often that updates. Yeah, it's almost every week.
Yeah, they're at like 2.9.21. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can do that because their automatic updater is there. It's not even, you don't even have to think about it.
Right, yeah, it just kind of goes and you let it go and then restart it once it's done.
Yeah.
And PHPBB isn't quite that easy to update.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Even WordPress has gotten kind of close. They really do have it now where you can click update and you're in min panel and it'll update it for you.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice, and I, you know, hopefully for 3.2 it'll move that direction for PHPBB. But, you know, with the automatic updater, it makes it fairly easy, but you still do have to go through quite a few steps and take some time.
You have to download the updater and then upload it to your site and then go through the pages of the updater.
Right. The idea, of course, would be that if you did it automatically, you would, you know, enter the FTP information for it or another protocol. I don't know if you have SCM or SFTP or whatever else you would use. But like in my case, I don't use FTP for anything. I do it all through SVN.
Yeah. So this is, again, kind of a little more on the advanced side. So we were talking about the CAPTCHA CAPTCHA plugins
and you.
And they were talking about there's a whole section here for mod authors in terms of, you know, pretty much everyone that's done an anti-bot or visual confirmation or anything type of mod now will have to rewrite their mod entirely, it looks like.
Potentially, yes. That would, you know, by face value, yes.
They could probably use the code, you know, from the previous one, but then they'd have to rewrite how it integrates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really shouldn't, for most, you know, if the mod was done well, it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
You know, if they're using externals properly and whatnot, because really well-designed mods are where you just include one little piece.
Mm-hmm.
One little piece to an external file. And, you know, that's... If that's the way that their mod works, then they're not going to have much difficulty updating it to the new code.
However, I guess it is a good idea that... these mods perhaps could take advantage of the new API, and it says that with the API there's a whole bunch of more possibilities that are supported, and they're supported much easier, it looks like.
Yeah, it's designed so that you can support a much broader range of possibilities for CAPTCHAs and whatnot, but I would like to see, and I don't know if this is really possible or not, but I would like to see where it's not just CAPTCHAs, but any sort of visual confirmation or human confirmation.
Yeah.
From question and answer to you know, check boxes or, you know, whatever.
To laser eye scanning. That should be
like the one where it's like, okay, if you're
over the internet, David, you can do laser eye scanning over the internet.
Yeah. Like it'd be like, okay, hold up two fingers.
Yeah, like I got that little webcam in front of me that I never use. Let's make it useful.
yes, exactly. You know, because you can do barcode scanning with your webcam.
Yeah, yeah. Heck, with that, yeah. You can.
To be like.
Delicious library. You know, it's kind of awkward, though.
It's strange, but it does work.
Now we just have the issue of all these people who can't see because their computer has shot lasers into their eyes. David, that would be a great skit for you and Francis to do. The laser eye doctor. Start practicing your accent for that.
We'll have to write that one.
We need to do that. What CAPTCHAs are going to... Do you guys know at this point which CAPTCHAs are going to be included by default in 3.0.6?
Yeah, I have that list right here. Basically, what's already there, and then reCAPTCHA to make it short, but the actual modules are GD 3D CAPTCHA, which is what the current CAPTCHA looks like, you know, with the sine wave distortion the... Funky 3D stuff. CAPTCHA without GD.
That's the one that looks like bubblegum with letters emerging as mountains out of it?
No, that's the, well, in just a sec I'll look, but I'm pretty sure it's the just the standard PHPBB. That's creepy. It's not changing. Hold on.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, that is. It's the bubblegum one.
Oh, I hate that so much. Oh.
Do you want a screenshot of
it? No, that can't be. That can't be.
It is. It's closer than you think.
But turn that on. Unless, you know, don't turn that on. How about you actually just set admin activation? That makes it even easier for users to register than it is to use that thing.
I bet you could even read this one. It's not that hard.
Oh, I could not. I've been looking at that. I remember that I was looking at that thing back when I was on the teams 4 years ago.
Well, it's back just to haunt you.
okay, I will.
So there's
okay.
that.
Actually, that, I will admit, that one's a little easier. I mean, I was remembering that it was more like you were looking at it like you're at the bottom of a hill.
There's a capture without GD, which...
That one looks like it'd be pretty easy. PHPBB.
Now that one's quite different from the one I remember.
Yeah, it's I think it's an older version of it before it turned from 3D wave capture to ridiculously complex. Oh my god, my eyes capture.
Absolutely.
I think captures need to at least go the way of the dinosaur. Really,
I still hate captures. I've never liked them.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should bring back the. Wave capture that Douglas is thinking of, and just ban everyone who can pass it because you'd have to be a bot. So you fail it. Here you go.
That's
you're
it.
Here.
If you can actually solve it, you're then you forget it. Okay.
If you fail it, you're in.
Yeah. Please do not.
Oh, you're human. You
I'm a
trip. Right.
Let's
you
call
human.
It. Let's call it reverse captchology. Captchology. Reverse captchology.
I know Michael has some thoughts on this. He's staying silent, though.
He's keeping him.
I think
thoughts.
I'm gonna write a. I'm gonna write a module that does it.
Michael has thoughts, but he's not converting them to words.
I think it's forced silence.
Hey, Michael, is your connection dead or are you dead? That was evil.
I'm not reading any life signs.
Hey,
hi,
doctor.
Name?
Oh, hi, Michael.
Oh. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm doing homework.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I was offline at the time, but we should note, congratulate Eric for being the first to hit July 4th before any of us.
Yay!
How is your July 4th there, Eric?
And even better, they don't even celebrate it over there.
Well, July 4th is like July 3rd, right?
All right. I'd love to... No, one of the things I would love to hear your feedback on, probably since the time I was on the teams, when PHPBB3 was coming around in beta, the teams have been trying to explain to me this thing called object-oriented programming. And they told me, you know, they had me read the stuff out of the coding guidelines and stuff, but I couldn't figure it out. Last week, I had to work on a. I actually don't do PHPBB mods. So I'm too busy, and because I don't use PHPBB, I do WordPress plugins now. I've actually figured out how to do WordPress plugins, and I must say that is some of the stuff is nice, and some of it is not as good as PHPBB. But in order for a thing I was working on, I thought, you know, the way I'm doing. This right now is just a little bit complicated, and I have to do the same thing over and over again. And I'm doing this thing with arrays that involve like hundreds of over 100 variables. And so I thought maybe I should give this object-oriented programming thing a try. So I actually got myself an ebook. It's the reason I got the ebook because you know it was a lot cheaper. It's called Object-Oriented Programming with PHP 5. Learn to leverage
for
PHP
dummies?
5's. No, not for dummies. Learn to leverage PHP 5's OOP features to write manageable applications with ease. It is published by PACT, P-A-C-K-T, Publishing, by Hassine Hader. And I've read through it, glossed through it in a few days, and then went to completely rewrite that plugin I told you about in object-oriented programming And boy, I didn't even quite get it when I was reading the book, but as soon as I started writing it with my own two hands and my own keyboard, wow. It's like heaven.
In heaven.
I'm in heaven. I don't have that song on my iTunes. But wow. And yeah. So tell me, how have you guys been enjoying this thing that I just now discovered?
We've been enjoying it for about 5 years now.
Yeah, and this one told me, like, you know, this is like, PHP 5 has been around for like 5 years. I was like, really? People still do the PHP 4 way of object-oriented programming, huh?
Yeah, well, PHP 4 does have some very, very rudimentary object-oriented programming methods, but PHP 5 certainly expands that, and so it makes it a lot easier and better to deal with, and that's why, at this point, like, all the mods that I'm creating, I'm making sure that it only works on PHP 5. Because it's just a whole lot better, programming wise, to make sure that you support PHP 5, and PHP 5 has been around for so many years now. I just go, you know,
didn't 5.3 just come out?
5.3 just came out this week. Yes, it did.
Yes, that's actually interesting. I thought we should mention that because 5.2 actually, I didn't know it was this long ago. 5.2 came out in November of 2006. Mm-hmm. Before PHP Weekly started. And it's interesting that, you know, I was also then going to read the PHP manuals on object-oriented programming now that the book kind of helped me make a little more sense of it. And there's actually some things that they're kind of changing. Namespaces, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, namespaces is. Late static bindings, which deal with the issue of not being able to basically override classes. You can't override static classes with a child object. And so that's always been sort of an issue.
You would have to use the scope object operator, which I found out has this weird Hebrew name. How do you pronounce that?
Francis knows.
Francis?
Oh my gosh, you're going to make me try to pronounce that. Okay, tell me what, can you give me the spelling of it? Let me see if I can find it.
Scope resolution operator. Scope resolution operator. It's on Wikipedia, I think.
It's like Palmaeum Nucodotium or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
You're pronouncing it in English way.
I don't speak Hebrew.
I found the pronunciation.
Palmaeum Nucodotium, maybe?
Now say it faster.
Palmaeum Nucodotium.
There you go. That was it.
Can you say, all right, a cookie to the first person who can say Palmaeum Nucodotium 5 times fast.
It's always funny when that shows up in parse errors.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you don't know what it is. It's like, oh, my God, what have I done?
I had that. Unexpected T. Palmaeum Nucodotium. In line, whatever.
You're like, okay, here it is. I'm posting it in Skype.
You're like, okay, unexpected what? Oh, yeah, thanks, man. That's
yeah, no kidding.
Francis, it could...
That cleared it up for me.
Thank you, Francis. What if PHP errors actually gave you the Hebrew spelling of that? That would be even scarier.
Okay, here it is. Palmaeum Nucodotium. Palmaeum Nucodotium. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
What does that actually mean in Hebrew?
Double colon.
Double colon. Okay.
It means twice colon or double colon in Hebrew.
Yeah, it's like maybe, I don't know, maybe one of the guys who was writing PHP that day had a bar mitzvah or something.
Well, the company that runs PHP is Hebrew.
Yeah, Zend, right?
Yep.
I say we write them and tell them that they're due for a double colonoscopy.
Would you? Douglas, you know that like several of the words used in Star Wars were from like German and other languages, right? Like Vader.
Oh.
It's spelled V-A-T-E-R, though.
Oh. Yeah. But anyway,
you know what? I don't think that pronunciation is correct because in Hebrew, J's are pronounced Y.
Yeah.
Pronounced as Y's. So, like, Jonathan would be like Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Or Yanni for short.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't think this. I don't think this pronunciation is correct.
Sorry, I can attempt different accents, but really the only accent I'm really good at is my Elmer Fudd accent and my Swedish Chef accent.
Proper accent, yes. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. In order to avoid Hebrew Weekly, I'll say, you know, when I first was looking at object-oriented programming or classes, as PHP calls them. I didn't quite understand the point at first. I was like, you know, isn't this just a bunch of functions that are all kind of, they related under the same type of thing? But, and then they have, you know, class variables. And I was like, you know, why can't you just use regular variables? It's actually quite nice because for this thing, it's like I have to deal with, it's all related with a particular form. This was originally just a form. All it did was people filled out this form over 100 variables, click the button, it would read it, do error checking on it, and send it out as an email. And I wanted to add the ability to put it in the database. Have it on backend and min panel, which takes stuff from the database, you can do stuff from it. So now by doing it in an object-oriented form, I can actually use it to either get the data from the form or from the database, process it the same way, have it in the same place, then I can do any of a bunch of things to it, whether it be emailing it or submitting it to a database or, you know, throwing tomatoes at it. It's so much easier because it's in the exact same format and I can have different ones for different data that I'm processing. It's amazing. And I'm like, wow. Now, if only I could figure out how to make it apply in, you know, how it works in other environments, but...
Yeah, well, it doesn't work all that different in other environments, in really good environments.
But I didn't understand why they actually have things where you can iterate through objects like you can through arrays. Why would you want to do that?
It depends. What are you trying to do?
Sometimes that can be helpful.
Give me an example. Like, for in this case, I was like, you know, iterating through arrays is fine. I love the for each loop, and doing it through arrays makes sense. And of course, you can do for each through through objects, I guess, or you can do a special iterator through objects. But what is the difference, the benefit of doing that over doing it through an array?
Well, it depends if you don't know what class you're looking for, but that it's not really a typically used little method there. That's pretty rare. We should say bye to Michael. He's actually headed out to dinner.
Okay. Bye, Michael. Bring some back for us.
Yeah, we're hungry. You know, it's something that is... I have to try and think if I've ever actually used an iteration through an object context. And I can't think of anything outside of an array. You know, it has its usage, but I'm sure that that's more rare. You know, iteration through... through an array is more typical. It just depends on what you're trying to do. You know, and objects aren't really meant to be iterated through unless it's an object array. You know, a member array, basically. Mm-hmm. That's still just an array.
Yeah. So some of that stuff I wasn't quite getting.
And... Yeah. So that sort of thing, it's kind of like, well, you know, your usage issue. You know, your usage. There is going to be so limited, it's not really worth actually looking into at your stage.
Yeah. You know? And I'm just... It's interesting was that, you know, I was like, I want to read through this book, but I really only need this first two, maybe three chapters of this particular book, because then it gets into things like interfaces and abstraction and design patterns, reflection, unit testing, the PHP library,
and Pameam Neka Tadoyam.
I'm not that. Simple XML.
Oh, you haven't gotten there yet?
I don't know. There's, you know, and it's like, great. All this stuff, you know, design patterns, all this, great. But, you know, a lot of it is for if you're doing, like, big applications. Heck, interfaces is really more for if you're going to have something that you want other people to extend off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and heck, just, you know.
Even abstract, both abstract and interfaces are sort of used that way.
And, of course, for PHP 5, you know, they want you to define everything as, you know, either public or private or protected. You know, pretty much almost everything I did was public because I don't really care. I'm going to be using all the functions elsewhere anyway.
Yeah, and if that's the case, if you're using it especially outside the class object, then you also need to look at making it static. Static is something that you'll want to look into if you haven't already. But really, the only time that, well, you know, static and dynamic classes both have their very distinctive different uses. If you need to override classes within one object, it's best to keep it dynamic. If you don't, and you're just using them individually as methods, well, then it's better to use a static method.
Well, the problem with static methods is then you can't get it through the whatchamacallit. You have to do it with a scope resolution operator type of thing as opposed to a variable dash greater than sign. Whatever. I still don't have the names down, you know.
Well, actually, with the static ones, you don't have to globalize anything.
Right. But unless you're instantiating the dynamic class within the function that you're calling, or within the actual content object that you're calling it in, then you could, you know, if you're using methods in various places, then you would use static classes most of the time.
You know, PHP 5.3 basically with their namespaces, they basically nullify the need for globalizing.
Globalizing in itself is actually really bad. PHPBB 3.0.x does it a lot, but it's really a bad thing to do.
Why?
Well, that was based on PHP 4 initially.
Right.
Isn't globalizing necessary for a function to recognize variables outside the function?
Well, that's why if it's dynamic and you're instantiating the dynamic class outside of it, then yes, which is then why you would use a static class in those cases.
No. PHPBB 3.2 uses a PHPBB namespace so that they don't have to globalize everything.
Right, so instead of like global user, global PHPBB root path, global all that stuff, then it's just PHPBB. That's a
double colon.
Double colon, yes. Then user, then pointer, whatever.
Don't you dare call it double colon. You give it its proper name.
okay. Where did that go?
Pramayam.
Sorry.
So namespace pretty much means now you have to have a namespace, a Pramayam Nakudotayam, then the class variable, then the dash thing, and then the method?
Yes.
Essentially, yes. But now, one thing to remember is that, PHP 5.3
was... Oh, you're ruining it. What I did makes sense, and now it's all confusing again.
So back up just a little bit, because PHP 5.3, which has just been released, is not very popular right now. It's not used on that many servers. So if you're making mods and plugins for things like PHPBB and WordPress and all these open source projects.
It's popular. Everybody uses 5.3. Don't say anything else.
Well, no, they don't. That's the thing. It's going to be a while until 5.3 is completely adopted.
My host is still at 5.2.6. Now, the plugin I was writing, actually, I don't write plugins publicly because I suck at them. I just do them for a particular site that I work on. So, don't know where
it's for a product which you think is going to be used on a lot of different servers and a lot of different instantiations, a lot of cases, you want to make it as globally accepted as possible, and which means that using PHP 5.0 or above, or PHP 5.1 or above, and not 5.2 or above, and definitely not 5.3, because it's going to be a few years before that's completely adopted everywhere.
Yeah, in all honesty, I'm still using PHP 5.2.6.
That's what I just said.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like all my mods right now just require PHP 5.1, and a lot of people have had to update from PHP 4 still.
Yeah, still.
Had to update from PHP 4. And as long as they're getting out of 4 and going up to at least 5.1 and at best 5.2, then we're good. You know, we're doing well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for pity.
Get them out of 4, you know. That's the most important thing. But make sure your plugin works at 5.0 or 5.1 or above.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Phil gives this example of namespace, sub namespace, sub sub namespace, static class, static method. And here's the thing: is that the way the book I read this opened by describing object oriented programming is actually a way to make your code look more readable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you put all the technical fancy stuff into the object, then you, your actual code should be able to be simply the class method call, and just a bunch of class method calls that are descriptive of what you're actually doing. Maybe a little bit of procedural programming in order to do a little bit of, you know, if this, then, or else that, but really being able to cut down on the procedural programming level is the way they describe it.
Yeah, and where methods are, and this is kind of what we were talking about while Douglas dropped offline. Philip and Francis and I were talking about how the PHP 5.0 or PHPBB 5. PHPBB 3.0.x code is really, it's outdated. It's pretty outdated, and you know, you have where it's globalizing everywhere, and you have functions which are doing a lot of stuff.
Outdated already.
Oh, yeah. Yes, very yes. Outdated.
Then why are you guys saying 3.0? What's going to take? You guys were saying PHP to me 2 was outdated just just a year ago. And I was like, oh, when you guys were saying why you had to kill off PHP to me 2. And
you know, that was, you know,
I finally accepted that PHP 2 is gone. I don't miss it anymore. I am on to 3. And now you're calling it for dead.
Come on, keep up with us.
You guys are never satisfied. And now there isn't even a 3.2 in beta yet. Come on.
3.2, yeah, it's definitely getting closer to, you know, more modern code. But 3.0.x is really old. First of all, besides the fact that they're using globalizations everywhere, they're still supporting PHP 4. That's just going to make it more than 5 years outdated. It just is. But
5? They rewrote the thing like twice.
Yeah, I know. But it's 5 years outdated. It is. But see, here's the thing, too, is that even though PHP 5.3 was just released this week, it does not make sense to start building applications that are going to be used on lots of different servers. It doesn't make sense to build them on 5.3. The only time really programming right now for 5.3 makes sense is if you're programming on an application that you're using on your own server or your own...
Sorry for that.
What are you playing a game over there?
Sounds like a phone.
Eric, who's calling you at 12:30?
Well, I'm going to take this one in 1 second. Go ahead.
Just what we needed.
So, just quickly, my point that I'm trying to get across is that programming for 5.3 only makes sense if you're programming it for your own company, your own server. You know, it's just your thing. If you're mass distributing code, then you need to look at, you know, 5.2 or above. Yeah. Just supporting 5.2 or above.
In reality, it's like PHP has to really, you know, kind of think a little ways ahead. Heck, it took them. They had to threaten their community to actually get them to update to PHP 5. It's like, we're gonna kill PHP 4, so you better move up now.
Part of the problem is not PHP or PHPBB, but it's the host that everybody runs on. It's all these hosting companies don't want to upgrade to PHP 5.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's the biggest issue is that you have, you know, people who are running their own servers, they're dedicated, or even VPSs are more willing and do more updates. But the shared hosting environments, the clustered environments, they don't like to update much.
My host is kind of like PHP. You can choose PHP 4 or PHP 5.
A lot of them have done that.
Yeah. And for a while I did PHP 4 because a plugin I had on WordPress didn't work right under PHP 5, but that's long gone now. So now I'm like, you know, PHP 5, why not? I don't have anything against it.
So what does good code look like? What does more modern code look like? Well, it looks like more what 3.2 is currently being developed as.
For those of us who don't actually live off of Subversion, David, what's that look like?
Well, you have static classes. You don't have globalization anymore, or at least they're moving away from it. So those are a couple of huge things. There are public, private, and protected vars. You have functions that just could do what they're supposed to do and not more than that. For example, there are some functions, like even the posting functions, within PHPBB 3.0.x, do so much you cannot logically use them as an API. So you have to either duplicate the functionality or modify their existing, which doesn't make sense at all. So then you just end up duplicating the functionality. So it's kind of silly, but it's like the code is there. The code is already doing stuff, but it's all mashed into one huge function. And so you have functions that are a couple hundred lines of code. Functions should never be a couple hundred lines of code.
Oh, thank you.
You know, take a look at get username string. Phil and I were talking about this a little while ago. If get username string handles like four or five different modes within a single function, which is really bad. It doesn't make sense. You're passing in, six different parameters, six different parameters. But you should have individual methods handling, getting a username string, getting a profile URL, or getting, those kinds of things where you just pass in user ID, username, and color, and that's it. And the rest is generated from there. You shouldn't have to pass in a mode, username, color, all these different things. It's just kind of silly.
Well, it's interesting, because one of the things that they said, I guess one of the questions I should say is, let me go back to the first thing I wanted to ask. If you're saying that, modern code is about static classes, then what's the point? I don't quite understand the benefits of a static class, a static method in a class over just a regular function.
Over a dynamic, because within classes you don't have functions.
A static method in a class versus a regular PHP function that is not class related whatsoever. Because it seems to me like a static method you can't really call with it. You can't use the this variable type of thing. You can't use the
use self.
You can use self, which is I don't quite get the point. And you have to use the whatever the heck it is.
It's not whatever the heck it is. It's a pameum necatidium.
Yeah, and it felt like, it's a lot. What's the difference if you can just call the only difference I could see is how you call it. So tell me, what is the benefit of a static class over a static method over a dynamic method, or a static method over just a normal PHP function?
Okay, now the benefits of a static method over a dynamic method is.
Sorry, wrong button.
David, held
but
the
you don't like
remote.
Me. Okay, so the benefits of a static method over a dynamic method is only if you have no intentions of extending it at any point in time.
Uh huh.
But you can't extend static methods.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Overriding. What do you call it? Overloading?
Yeah,
if you're not going to do any overloading.
Right, but that's what I mean. You can't overload static methods.
And also, static methods they're compiled at runtime instead of on the fly, like dynamic methods are. And so, if that's the right terminology for it, so they use less memory and are actually faster.
That's another question I wanted to ask. I'm going to interrupt you guys a bunch. But it seems like with private, protected, public, this things, a lot of it seems to be on the idea of extending classes. But for something that was as simple as I was doing, it seemed to me like extending classes is mainly about, I didn't see the point of why I would want to extend a class that I was doing when I could just add more methods to the existing class that I was already developing as it was.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say it's quite helpful if you're creating. Let me make a module oriented application, for instance. Here, I'll use that as an example. So you have an application where you put in a set of modules, and the set of modules has like four pages built in, but they all need like a controller. So each of the four modules would have its own class that would extend the controller. And so they could use the controller.
Can I put this in English?
Sure.
Okay, yes, so here's an example. Imagine if I'm building an application and I wanted to have a sale on a few products and offer a certain percentage discount on them, it would be nice if I did not have to add a whole bunch of logic to my web application to manage this, but instead have the product class be aware of the possible discount situations. So instead of burdening the product class, which is what you're talking about, adding a bunch of methods to the product class, you would extend the product class with your discount class, which then basically adds on the discount code onto the product class without having to modify the product class. That's why you have that's, you know, a basic example of extensions.
Well, actually, a really good example too is the PHBBB debel.
Oh, that'd be even better example.
Yeah, that one just dawned on me. But anyway, the common.php, config.php is where, like, mycycli is set, for instance. And so when common.php runs, it takes your debel type, which is mycycli, if that's what you're using, and it calls the debel underscore mycycli class, which extends the debel class. So all the different debel types, like mycycli, MySQL, Postgres, all those different types, they use a base set of methods, which is in, what is that, debel.php?
Right, yes. You know, your debel is, that's your base methods. And then your MySQLi debel is where you're extending those methods specifically for MySQL. And then you have an Oracle one that extends those methods specifically for Oracle. And so that's a good example of why it's important to extend that particular class, the debel class.
Yeah, so for the debel, all the different methods have the same names, but they work differently for the different database types.
And for example, if I'm building a website that's based off of the PHBBB3 framework, then I want to extend maybe some additional MySQL functions. Instead of modifying the MySQL debel, then I'll just create my own class that extends the MySQL debel and instantiate that function in the PHBBB common file.
I don't know. It seems quite complicated. I think we're losing Eric, who needs to go to sleep now.
He's falling asleep.
Yeah, we're breaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Asleep. You're on the support team for a reason.
Well, yeah, but that ends at 12 o'clock or so.
Yeah. Well, thanks a bunch for joining us, Eric.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Bye, guys.
All right, bye, Eric.
Bye, Eric.
I'll be sure we can finish this conversation soon. It just seems to me like for someone like me who just wants to start up, do a little bit of conversion into object-oriented programming. And quite frankly, I don't know if you got – it seems like there's just a belief that you can pretty much do anything in object-oriented programming, theoretically.
You can. You can.
You don't,
yeah,
like,
anything.
You never have to use
you can make
procedural.
Coffee.
You never have to use procedural programming. You can do object-oriented for anything. But I guess that has to be true since, you know, pretty much everything in terms of definitely in the graphical user applications would have to be our object-oriented programming. OS X, C is all that object-oriented programming. It seems to me like how often do you really need to worry about things like extends, interfaces, abstract classes, public, private, protected? Couldn't
if you're
most...
It depends on what kind of application you're building. If you're building a pretty big application, it's absolutely vital. But if you're creating a mod, then you're, for PHBB or even a plugin perhaps for WordPress, then the usage is a little bit more limited. But you still, like if I'm creating a MySQL plugin for PHBB, then I need to extend the debel class. So then I need to know what how to extend and things like that.
I'm sure that if I showed you the thing that I did, my first foray into object-oriented programming, which actually has a bit of procedural programming that has to accompany it, you would probably tell me everything I could do with all this other fancier stuff and even shrink my code usage by half.
Well, like Igor likes to say with PHP, is that there are 100 ways to skin a cat and 3 ways for this cat to skin you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, there's 100 different ways of doing things in PHP.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can choose any one of them. You can do everything procedurally. You can do everything OOP. You can do everything with a mixture of the two. You can do everything in static classes, dynamic classes, globalization.
Yeah.
You know, there's 100 ways of doing different things. And basically what he's saying is there's so many ways of doing things, there's even 3 ways for the cat to skin you.
Oh. Thank you. That's a joke. There's so many ways of doing it that it requires an explanation of how to even understand the joke. Yeah, well, I have to say this. I'm going to try to follow it a little bit more. Maybe sometime we can have some episodes where you guys can help describe some of this stuff. I'll say this about the book is that It did help me get a little bit better understanding of object-oriented programming, just in general. However, this book has a tremendous amount of typos. It is so clear that this book was not proofread. And even in the code, like, for example, you know how there are some of the magic methods that are available in PHP 5? Like, there was, it was describing, you know, how you can serialize. And by the way, I'm glad I read that because for someone who is dealing with a multidimensional array of, like, you know, 90 variables in one array, serialize saved my life in terms of being able to commit that thing to the database.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, an earlier version of my code, I had tried doing complicated loops and weird things like that to get it out of an array and into separate database tables. So serialize is great. But it was talking about, you know, the magic method of sleep and awake, which is a typo. It's supposed to be sleep and wake up. But they did sleep and awake. And at first I thought that it was like, you know, that, you know, sleepers awake. Like, perhaps they were listening, the PHP developers were listening to some Bach or something like that. And the grammar's not great, so I don't, if it, is it?
It's violating your sense of justice for grammar justice.
Let's say it was a good introduction. It doesn't give it a lot of the examples here, however, it gives you the PHP code and kind of expects you to interpret what is in the code. As it doesn't give enough description of, you know, the code. It gives you examples for trying to describe some of these complicated things like interfaces and design patterns and iterators. And it's like you're supposed to be able to figure it out based on the code. And they don't just explain it. They don't explain the different parts of it as well. So it's good as an introduction, but, you know, I kind of did have to go into the PHP user manual and then, you know, read that to kind of get a little bit more explanation. I really would like something that's a little bit more for dummies type written. I know that object-oriented programming kind of requires a pretty good background with PHP as a basis, you know, to get started. But I really feel like this is something that probably is powerful, probably much more than even I quite comprehend at this point. But it really needs to be something out there that really helps to explain that a bit more. Make it a little even more clear to just basic developers.
Okay,
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll teach you PHP 6, and that way by the time PHP 7 comes around, you'll be good at it and ready to go.
When does PHP 6 come out?
I don't know, but whatever it does, you'll be ready for it.
The only thing I know about PHP 6 is that they've gotten rid of the register globals directive.
Finally.
And amen to that, yes, absolutely. That's one of PHP's worst legacies.
By the way, I am not familiar with a wake up or awake.
I just pulled them up.
What sleep is and it? Wake up. It's in the thing.
So they're magic functions, underscore.
If you serialize and unserialize an object, it's a magic method that PHP will call prior to serializing or after unserializing the object. So it's like for cleanup and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course,
I end up using serialize to serialize arrays instead, which was like amen to have that available. But, you know.
Yeah, in this guy's example, he said PHP magic functions in order to create objects that persist across different HTTP requests. So I'm going to find out more about this.
Well, it's converts, serialized simply converts, you know, to a string. Which is so much easier to work with.
Well, you know what's interesting? PHP is such a vast language that even after 5 years of programming with it, we're still learning stuff about it. So, but, you know, it is one of the reasons that we started Star Trek Guide, now PHPB Academy at Star Trek Guide, is to teach people how to program with and for PHPBB, and that includes learning the object-oriented methods. And we have some
PHPBB 3 kind of involves quite a bit of at least interaction with PHPBB's own OOP.
Yeah.
You know, PHPBB 2, right, the closest thing you'd have to OOP is when you're assigning template variables and interacting with the debug. Now it's just all you can't get away from it.
Well, you could, but it would be bad too.
Okay, so the sleep and wake up are for serializing objects.
I said that.
I missed it.
Yeah, I
missed it too. I thought you were talking about serializing arrays.
Yeah, I thought
I said
so too.
You can use serialize for anything, and I used serialize for arrays. Sleep and wake up only apply to serializing objects, but that's where I read about it from the book. They talk about serializing objects. That's where I found out that serializes is something that exists. So, amen to it.
So anyway, what the wake-up is for is when you unserialize an object, it finds the wake-up, if it's in there, and runs that function.
Method. It's not a function in an object.
Yeah.
It says function.
So there, I think you used to name it the vocabulary of object-oriented programming. All right, well, lest we bludgeon this topic to death, let's just say maybe we can have... As a future PHP weekly feature, when you guys are on a little more, David, you guys can do some occasional featurettes on this week's OOP topic. Go in depth, we can do a little bit of OOP weekly.
Yeah, to a certain extent, you have to remember, and this was one of the reasons that I had to kind of scale back a little bit, is because talking about programming on a podcast can be. A little
hard.
Over the head of some people, and it gets a little extreme. It's like, people who are just interested in PHP from a user perspective aren't always coders. Yeah. And so when you're talking about coding, you'll lose them real quick. So I tried to avoid a lot of talk about coding, and I know you wanted to bring it up on this episode, and hopefully it didn't steer too many people away from listening to listening this late in the episode. But,
we got through the important
stuff
first.
It is the reason that the forums exist, to be able to discuss these sorts of things where you can discuss coding and start pasting actual code to look at, because it's really difficult to explain code over a podcast.
Well, point is, I'm proud of myself for at least getting something in terms of OOP going. So, David, I'm sure you will chat about that some more some other time, but we are getting a little long, so
yeah,
let's look at wrapping up the show. No mod or style of the week, though I will note our poll question is still going on. What would be the most likely impact of enabling quick reply on your board?
I better go vote.
You better go vote. It ends next Saturday, so go and vote. And let's see if we can top our last poll, which had 35 votes. David, don't you dare vote over and over and over again, okay?
Hey, you need to fix that, by the way. I shouldn't have to be able to come here and I shouldn't be able to come here and be able to vote over and over and over.
In order to fix that, you have to pay them money.
Did they send it to you in PHP?
It's no, it's JavaScript. It's Poll Daddy.
Oh, so you're actually pulling it from the Poll Daddy server.
Poll Daddy does the whole thing. Yeah.
Crumbs. Make our own poll.
I'm too lazy. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes, links and stuff we've talked about on this show.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the poll question.
I had a lot of fun on that one. Yeah. But our website, show notes, the links with things we talk about on this show, all our past shows, and also the correct spelling of Pamayam Nekudotayam. That will be on our website as well. Or just Google for scope resolution operator. On our forum, StarTrekGuide.com, PHP Weekly, and I think I might just start an OOP discussion topic. Instead of us talking about it more on the show, David, we'll just talk about it on the forum. And you guys can maybe help me. In fact, I'm considering if I should embarrass myself and actually post my code from that plugin I was working on into there, and maybe you and Francis can critique it. And I'm very scared about what will happen to me when you guys critique it, but...
Well, lots of people have to have their code critiqued, especially if they want to get their mods the mods validated. So lots of people will post their code on there.
This is not code that's going public. It's just code that I'm using for my own thing.
I hate to have anybody even concerned about being embarrassed about posting their code for critique, because, that was the point of PHBB Academy at Starter Guide is for you to post code, have it critique, learn from the code people other people post, learn from the validation reports, learn from having other people's code critiques, and just the whole experience of that. You know, it would be nice if people learn from that and not be too embarrassed about posting code that they know they're not. They know they're not that good, but that's not a big deal. The point is to learn.
In that case, I'm going to post my code as soon as MASH is over. Our next episode will be Saturday, July 11th, noon Eastern Time, 4 p.m. UTC time, live on TalkShoe, episode number 113. I do not know what we're talking about yet. We'll pick something. Hey, David, you want to join us?
I don't know. I have to see if we're going to do a long trail ride or what.
I thought you were... You tell me that you were busy with work. Now you're talking about things like long trail rides and all that.
Yes. Yeah. Who knows? We could leave. Like,
have you
Friday
resigned from your job and are just using that as an excuse to do your long trail rides?
No. It's a good way to get away from work, though.
All right. Let's give a little thanks to some of them are gone now, but Michael, who had to go for dinner and homework. Eric Frerijan, who didn't quite make it all the way up till 1 a.m. his time, but stick around with us. Thanks, Eric. Phil is still with us. iWisdom, thanks a bunch, Phil.
No problem.
Francis, always good to hear from you.
Always a pleasure to be on. Thank you again.
And David.
Bond. James Bond.
Who obviously does not think it's a pleasure to be on, otherwise he wouldn't have to disguise himself every week. And I'm Douglas Bell. And that's it for OOP Weekly. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag.
Tag.
You're it.
You're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.